Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, the cold, sun, and fun capital of the world. This is Dr. John Stamey, and so glad to have everybody on ScaryCast Tuesday. We got a great show, an incredible guest, and I want to introduce our co-hosts. First, from somewhere up in the mountains of Virginia, we don't know where he is, but he's up there in one of the scariest spots in the universe, Matt Delph. How are you doing tonight, Matt?
I'm doing great. Doing great.
Well, we're glad to have you here, as usual. We missed last week, so anyway, we're glad to have you back. Glad to have everybody back. And Kyler Smith from Houston, Texas. How are you doing tonight, Kyler?
Good as usual.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you're good as usual. I'm not always good, I'll tell you that, but I try. But that's okay. Well, tonight we have a wonderful guest. She is the host of at least five weekly broadcasts on the internet. She's interesting. She was a star of the Georgia Bigfoot Conference that we ran. And we're going to be running again next April. So her name is the one and only Jessica Jones. How are you doing tonight, Jessica?
Hey, y'all. I'm good. Thank y'all for having me tonight. It's going to be fun.
You are welcome. And here's the reason we had you, because Matt and I, because I have no cell phone service. Although it's interesting, when I log into ScaryCast or Pro Wrestling Interviews, I get great cell phone service, so it's wonderful. So anyway, we were up there talking, and he said, I saw this thing last night about, now, Matt, what was it?
About Mel's Hole.
And, Mel's Hole. I said, well, let's get Jessica on, because she has a show about remote viewing, and she remote viewed down there. So, Jessica?
I did.
Yeah. The floor is yours. What is Mel's Hole and what's down there?
Well, I can tell you this is the weirdest thing that I've ever remote viewed. And I've remote viewed a lot of weird stuff, okay? It is so weird that I actually brought in another remote viewer named Tanya Braddock to come in, and she remote viewed it as well, separately for me. She lives in Idaho. And I'm down here in Georgia. And we both remote viewed it, and we both came up with the same data, which is not surprising. However, it was pretty exciting. This hole is no ordinary hole, okay? And I'll give you a little background on it. On February 21st of 1997, a man who identified himself as Mel Waters appeared as a guest on Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. He claimed that he owned rural property 9 miles west of Ellensburg, Washington, and it contained a mysterious hole. According to Waters, the hole had an unknown depth of at least 80,000 feet. He claimed to have measured its depth using fishing line and a weight, although he still had not hit the bottom by the time 80,000 feet of line had been used. He also claimed that his neighbor's dead dog had been seen alive sometime after it was thrown into the hole. After a sheep was lowered into the hole, it was pulled back out dead, and after an on-site autopsy, a large tumor was removed, and it's reported that a living seal-like being with human eyes crawled out of the tumor, jumped back into the hole. Okay, when I say this is weird, this is real weird, okay? According to Waters,
Jessica, excuse me, you're 100% right. This is getting weirder by the minute.
It's so weird. But according to Waters, the hole's magical properties prompted U.S. federal agents to seize the land and fund his relocation to Australia. Okay, I did remote view it, and I had Tanya Braddock and Barry Littleton, they're just both amazing paranormal researchers and Bigfoot researchers. They came on with me on the show, and we talked about it, and it just got more weird. And honestly, at the end of that show, we had more questions than answers, to be honest with you. But there were talks about someone throwing a neighbor throwing their dead dog down in this hole. And the, okay, it's kind of gross. It's kind of sad, you know, that someone would do that. But the guy saw the dog about a year later walking around town with another person. It was the exact, his dog. Almost like it had reanimated, okay? But I don't know if he even recognized that guy. Now, people for years have been throwing trash down in this hole, like heavy appliances, refrigerators, freezers, cars. I mean, you name it. They were throwing it down there, and there was no bottom to it. I don't think they've ever reached the bottom of this thing. But to say it was anomalous is an understatement, okay? Let's see. I just pulled all my notes out because this was kind of last minute, so I haven't studied this in a while.
Okay. Can I interrupt real quick?
Yeah.
Could you explain to the audience what remote viewing is? I'm sure, Kyler, do you know what remote viewing is?
No, I'm actually glad you said that because I had no clue.
Okay, yeah, okay. If you could explain that.
That is perfect. I'm glad you asked, Matt, because I do a show where I remote view stuff, and I do it so much that I forget that I need to explain it sometimes. So, yes, remote viewing is a way to locate a target that usually you don't know what that target is using your senses without knowing what this target is. You use, for lack of a better term, you use your psychic abilities to locate a target, okay? My target in this case was Mel's hole. I was front-loaded. I knew exactly what – I knew that it was Mel's hole, but I didn't know anything about it when I looked into this. Now remote viewing, it was originally used by governments and militaries. Russia was using remote viewers during the Cold War as psychic spies. Okay, to help, you know, locate targets, to locate, you know, people that have been kidnapped or any kind of anything on the enemy side, right? And so the United States picked it up too and started doing programs with remote viewing and mind control and things like that called Project Stargate, Project Jedi. There's several different projects that they worked on throughout the years using remote viewers. So I have been trained in remote viewing by actually the head of my Bigfoot field research team. I am a Bigfoot field researcher based out of Georgia, and I come from, and Matthew actually is part of my team, and the one team that does remote viewing, we've been going out in the field for, I think I'm on my 12th year with them, but we were having so much weird stuff going on when we were out there doing Bigfoot field research in regards to ETs and UFOs and portals and trickster spirits and all this other weird anomalous stuff other than just Bigfoot. The head of my team, who's a remote viewer, he decided to teach, you know, the whole team remote viewing. So now we all know how to remote view. That's with Enigma Research Group. And so that's, I really enjoy doing it. And so that's why I remote viewed Mel's hole. And so, you know, just try to solve some of these mysteries, you know. What we do is we go in as a team, we go in and we remote view things that happen to us in the field. You know, like I had a UFO flying over my head one night. So we're able to go and remote view things like that as a team to find out what that really was. Like, what was it, a UFO? What was inside the craft? Why was it there? You know, that kind of stuff. I really like remote viewing paranormal weird stuff, and this is a weird thing. And first of all, when I'm remote viewing, the first thing I do is I determine whether this is a real thing. Like, what is it? Just a hole in the ground, or is there more to it? Well, I immediately picked up that there was way more to this hole. Okay, and so did Tanya, my friend who remote viewed it. We both got that it was, I got that there was radiation coming out of this thing. Now, an interesting side note is that animals were terrified of this hole. Birds fly around it. They will not fly over it. Okay? Animals will not go near it. It's almost like they know there's something wrong with this hole. Okay? So But I immediately picked up that it was a wormhole. Okay? It was a wormhole, and it will take you into another dimension. And I know that sounds really, really weird. Okay? But Tanya got the same thing. We both got that it was a wormhole. Now, where does it take you? We don't know. We don't know where it takes you, but it was some sort of convergence of like space and time, and it was an actual portal into another realm. And now it's also interesting to note that the federal government took over this land when they found out that this guy was going on Art Bell's show and talking about Mel's Hole. And through some research, Tanya and I found that there are more than one of these holes in the United States. So that are just as
now hold on, Jessica. That's a great point. Where are some of these other holes?
Well, I'm not exactly sure. I don't have all those notes here in front of me. I just have my remote viewing data tonight. So, but Mel's Hole, I think that was up near Washington or that Washington, like the northern Pacific area, maybe like towards Washington and Idaho, like that area. Maybe.
Right. Well, I thought it was near Canada, but it was in the continental United States.
Yeah. It is. It's near Idaho. Idaho touches Canada. So it's somewhere up there near Washington. Yeah. So I don't remember. I know Tanya could tell me. I know she could if she were here tonight. But yeah, it was up there. And I think there was actually one in Nevada. If I remember correctly, there was another one down, I think it was Nevada. Okay. Either New Mexico or Nevada. Now, Mel was apparently what he said was the federal government had paid for him to relocate to Australia. Okay. They basically took his land from him and told
words,
him never
get,
to come
let's
back.
Get him the heck, let's get him the heck out of here.
They did. But guess
right?
what he did? He went back. He went back and apparently what they were doing, they were putting money in his bank every month and they were paying for him to live a very nice, comfortable life, raising some kind of animal, like alpacas or something, some kind of animal, in Australia. And he wanted to come home. He just had to come back. And when he was seen back, the federal government cut off all funds. And, it put him in a bad spot. So I'm not sure if that's when he went down to Nevada or wherever that other hole was. He found another hole. Just like Mel's Hole.
I think I remember hearing something about it. Was it California? Maybe it was Nevada, but wasn't it an Indian reservation?
Yes, I believe so.
Now, what was interesting about Mel's Hole is they were picking up radio frequencies too, and they was listening to a live baseball game from like 1967, which was pretty wild.
Ooh. I mean, I'm telling you, it's a portal. It is a wormhole. So wherever it takes you, I'm not sure, but it was something you hop down in there. You don't know where you're going to end up. Now they did lower one animal that was alive and one man who was alive down inside of it. A guy did volunteer. Now, when they lowered him down inside this hole, he came back crazy, literally crazy, lost his mind. Okay. I believe he said that he had heard voices down there or something. I can't remember, y'all. I'm sorry. If it was more fresh on my mind, I could tell you, but he literally went crazy. They decided to lower a baby sheep, like a lamb or a sheep, down in the hole. They put it in a crate. And right before they put it in this little cage, it started going crazy. The thing panicked. Of course, it didn't want to go in there. And it went nuts. And they lowered it down anyways, I guess for science, right? Just to see what would happen. And the lamb eventually went quiet, or the sheep, and it died. Okay, so it died. And I was picking up there's a lot of radiation coming out of this thing. Now, Matthew can tell you guys, when we're out in the field doing our paranormal research, because he and I go out and do research together in the field, a lot of the team has Geiger counters, Geiger meters that measures radiation. And whenever we have paranormal activity, those meters will spike. Okay, so radiation is just attributed to paranormal activity for whatever reason. Okay, so the seal went down inside this hole, not the seal, the sheep. And when they pulled it back up, its abdomen was like really big. And so what they did was they cut it open and they dissected it on site. Okay. I guess they saw, they figured something was off. I think that maybe its abdomen was moving or there was something weird about its abdomen. And they cut it open and out of the body came a being. Like, they said it looked like a seal, like a seal out of the ocean. Okay. And it had human eyeballs on it. And it was huge. It was like the whole size of the cavity of the sheep, like its abdomen. And it crawled out of the sheep and it crawled back into the hole and it jumped down in the hole, slithered back down in there and went right back in. So that was weird. I actually remote viewed the tumor seal.
Male getting it, he had esophageal cancer, and they were, I think he said there was reports or something that he only supposedly had like 6 months to live, but after that encounter with that, with the sheep and the seal, that all of a sudden his cancer was gone. I've heard something about that. I don't know.
I wouldn't doubt it. I don't know. That would not surprise me. I don't think anything surprises me anymore after looking into this.
Do you guys know if anyone's ever tried to put a camera down there?
Well,
I'm sure they
military
have.
Took it over, so.
Yeah.
Oh,
the military
yeah.
Military took it over. I think
you
they
can't
used
even
to
get
use,
in there now.
No, you can't even fly over it, from what I understand. It's
you
like a
no-fly
zone.
Zone, ain't it? Yep.
Yep. And when you go to look on Google Maps and Google Earth, it has a square over it. Like they've blocked it out where you can't see it.
Jeez, so
yeah.
Something was really being hidden right there.
Yes. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I did look into the tumor. They call it a tumor seal because it was like a big tumor that came to life. It was just full of radiation, right? It was, but I picked up that it was a chimera of some sort, and I think it might have had some human. I don't want to say DNA, but it had something human about it, right? But it was the sheep had become its host body. This wasn't actually an interdimensional being, okay? It just gets a lot more weird from there. But it was some sort of like an alien, like an interdimensional alien. Something that's even more like a cherry on top, right? My friend Tanya remote viewed the tumor seal too. And this thing started contacting her psychically. Okay. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't even want to go into all that. It was a lot. Okay. But yeah, let's just say it was weird, y'all. It was very weird. Okay. But yeah, I'm trying to think of what all happened. To Mel, do you remember Matt?
Yeah, well, he had come back, and he was supposed to go back on Art Bell's show, but he was being threatened or something. And wasn't there an incident? He was on a bus or something, and there was an incident on the bus, an altercation or something, and he woke up in the middle of an alley and didn't remember, like, it was like a week later or something. I forget how many days that he does not remember. Yeah. He had lost time. Yeah, a lot of strange things has happened to him. He was getting paid like $3 million a year to relocate, talk about it.
Yeah.
And when he come back, he broke the thing. So pretty much they stuck it to him after that.
They did. It was the feds or somebody, I guess, beat him up and, you know, took everything. Okay, there's something else I remember. Okay, there's some vague memory I have of some coins, right? There were some kind of coins involved. I have to remember. If I can think of it, I'll tell you the whole story. There's something about some coins. Like, he couldn't remember if like he had found some coins at some point, and something had to do with the whole, but they weren't from this time period or something like that. I don't know. I have to. It'll come to me in a minute, and I'll blurt it out. Okay, but there was other people involved that had gotten some coins and made some jewelry out of it. And I feel like the federal government, like some people in the government had tried to like seize all that stuff from him. But one of his buddies had taken some of these coins and put them in some jewelry or something like that. So there was some proof that there had been, it was almost like time slips, or there was something, some kind, there was a whole lot of timeline jumps and time splits involved in this. Okay. Parallel universes were involved, okay, especially with the whole thing with that dog that showed back up. I was also picking up on Project Paperclip and, like, Nazi Germany projects and things like that were involved with this hole or holes like it. Or I'm not really sure. You know, when I'm getting all this data, I'm kind of like a channel to receive a whole bunch of messages, you know, and I just write it all down, and I don't even know what it is. I can't tell you what it means, okay, so but I was getting a whole bunch of, I did pick up on a like Nazi UFO kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like that, those kind of projects were involved with this. So who knows, y'all? Like I said, this was one of the weirder things I've ever remote viewed. But it is real. It's very real.
So Jessica, this is Dr. John. What you're saying is you remote viewed, and the further you went down, what were you experiencing? Because remote viewing is not seeing, it's an experience. Don't you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. It was just a void.
What did you
experience? Just a big void. Yeah, well, it was just a void. It's a never-ending hole, okay? There was something going on with this hole that will ruin the nation. There's something to do with what's going on in this hole that I've picked up is something that could destroy, okay? There's something about it that can destroy. And I'm not sure what that is, but it had something to do. I even picked up on Project Stargate and, like, mind control projects and stuff like that. It is very deeply tied to our government black projects. So I really don't know. It was just a big black void. It's just a never-ending hole, a dark black hole. But there's a whole lot more to it than that, okay? There's a lot of radiation in it. It's a portal, and it's like a wormhole to somewhere else. So time travel. You know, I picked up on time travel.
All right, so I guess we can say that's the end of that, but that's not the end of that. That's just the beginning, correct?
That's right. Correct.
So let me ask you this. Are you going to do any more remote viewing down there?
You know, I have not planned on it. I had not planned on it, but let me tell you, out of all my remote viewing shows that I've done, this is one of the, if not the most highest watched video I've had, like shows. It's either the first or the second. I believe it's this has more interest than any other thing I've remote viewed. I've remote viewed some really interesting things. I think this is because it's so anomalous, and nobody knows what this is, you know, and a lot of people didn't know whether to believe it or not when Mel was calling into Art Bell's show.
Now, all right, now I want to make sure that I get this right. This is M-E-L, Mel's hole, correct?
Mel Waters, yes, Mel's hole. It sounds funny. I got a lot of jokes about me remote viewing Mel's hole, okay? So it sounds weird. I know Matthew's thinking that. He didn't want to say it out loud, but.
I think I commented during the show, but I kept
you
quiet.
You did. You came in my chat room just long enough to make fun of it. I know. I remember that. I see you, Matthew.
Oh, Matt, why are you making fun of dear sweet Jessica? and her great talents. Now, come on, man.
Oh, my God. No, he's making fun of the name. I was making fun of it, too. We were all laughing about it.
Yeah, just the name, Mel's Hole.
Well, you know, we thought about maybe playing Mel's Well, but everybody knows it as Mel's Hole. And it's not a well. There's no water down there.
But it does have a concrete, thing around it. So it's not just like the hole. It's like a 9-foot-wide hole or whatever. But it's got a concrete wall around it. So somebody, you know, somebody put that wall up there wherever this got created. And
they did.
I'm kind of curious about the previous landowners. Exactly.
Well, there's zero pictures of it. Nobody's ever taken a picture. So, you know, there's actually been MIB involvement, Men in Black. Okay. There's so when Mel was trying to get onto his property one day, okay, and this was after he had been on Art Bell's show, the government tried to seize his land one day, right? This was at first before they really seized it. So Men in Black told Mel that a plane had crashed on the property and that he could not enter his property. Okay, well, that's when the government decided, well, they're going to let him lease the property, but the government's going to own it. So the government seized it, but they were leasing it to him. He was paid $250,000 a month, but he had to move to Australia. Oh, he went there to go take care of wombats.
Wombats.
So wombats, yeah. But when he came back to America, he did lose everything. There were two holes, okay? Oh, I've got some more information. I just found my notes, y'all. So we're going here. We got a lot more to talk about. Yes. So this all happened in 1997 when he called into Art Bell. Okay. But let's see. So a lot of people had put that it was known to be a place where everybody threw their dead animals. Okay. It wasn't just that one dog. There were a lot of dead dogs there. So he had dropped at least 15 miles of string or fishing line down in that hole. 15 miles. That's a lot of fishing line, okay? That's just a whole lot. And, so there were two holes. There was a second hole that he found. They lowered a bucket of ice down inside this hole, okay? And remember I told y'all there was a lot of radiation. They lowered a bucket of ice 15,000 feet down is what it said. The ice did not melt, okay? When they pulled the ice back up, it was congealed, and it caught fire. Okay, what is that about? The ice congealed. It never melted. It congealed, and then it caught. It was flammable when it came back up. And I got information about the sheep. So they put it down the hole, put it in a crate. It died. They cut it open with an autopsy. They looked at it from the inside. There was a gelatinous tumor. That sounds really gross. It started moving. The creature crawled out with the human eyes. It dove into the hole. And then they dumped the sheep back down in the hole. They threw the dead sheep back down in there. But, they say that geologically and physically it's just impossible for a hole to be that deep. But they said technically, scientifically, they say that it would collapse onto itself under pressure and heat from surrounding strata, okay? So they say that in 1989, the Russians drilled the deepest bore hole. They drilled the deepest hole at 40,230 feet, but this is actually deeper than that, okay? The deepest known cavern is only 7,188 feet. And the deepest mine shaft in the world is 12,672 feet deep. But so far, they had measured Mel's Hole as being 80,000 feet deep. Okay? So that's twice the depth of what the Russians had drilled, saying that was the deepest hole. Okay? So that's a deep hole, y'all.
Now, with that ice, didn't that continued to burn or cause heat, and somebody had used it to used for their heat source in a cabin, didn't they?
Yeah, you're right. They did. One of the guys did. They used it for heat. I mean, that was dumb because that's just radiation probably.
And it collapsed or something in the cabin or something. It melded through the floor, or I can't remember what, but it had collapsed through the floor and was still going, creating heat or something. But they were using it for heat, a heat source.
Wow. Yeah, I do remember that. Yeah. I don't know if I would have been so quick to take that to my house.
Yeah, that radiation. Yeah. No, thank
radiation.
You.
Wait, so so the guy that they lowered down in there, was that around the same time?
It was. It was more towards the end, I guess, like before he lost his hole. I can't remember if the guy they sent down was at the second hole. I think the guy they sent down was at the second hole after he had lost the first hole. Okay.
I'm so childish. Continue, please.
It is funny. But I think the guy that went down might have been at the second hole. But they said that he basically lost his mind after they brought him back up. That he was hearing voices down there and stuff like that. I want to say they did put some reporters down
voices,
there and did pick up some voices.
If you're hearing voices, you're hearing voices. Come on, you know, it's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, Mel wasn't even his real name, was it? Wasn't it a cover-up name that he was using or they had him using?
Maybe. I don't remember. I don't remember that part.
But
could've
he
been.
Is currently missing right now, I believe.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure he's missing right now. But he is,
I guess,
that he has just vanished, thin air, gone.
Maybe he fell down the hole.
That doesn't surprise me.
I hope not.
I'd say the same people that was funding him that $3 million a year probably had something to do with him disappearing.
I would agree with that. Yeah. Okay. It was definitely Nevada. Okay. So I remote viewed both holes. I didn't even realize I did that. I remote viewed both holes. The main Mel's hole, okay, the first one, that was a wormhole, okay. And then the one in Nevada, I did remote view that too separately. And, yeah, it was the same thing. It was another portal. It was a wormhole as well. So, yeah, I did remote view both of them. They were the same. And they say that there's more holes like this all over the place. I remember Sonia had done a lot of research on this too, and she said that there were holes like this all over the world. So our government knows about them, okay? Our government obviously knows. Somebody knows. Somebody in charge knows.
It's kind of got me curious if it's got anything, these holes and these tunnel systems like that, have anything to do with, you've heard of Operation High Jump, right?
Yeah, I just remote viewed Antarctica.
Okay.
I remote viewed Organism 46B for my Friday show, and I was finding all sorts of underground bases and all sorts of stuff in Antarctica while I was looking at that. Yeah, lost civilization.
Supposedly have the tunnel systems to the national parks, and with these aliens and interdimensional. That's where the people who are coming up missing supposedly have something to do with Operation High Jump, well, up there in Antarctica with the hollow earth.
There's an opening to inner earth up there, I believe.
Now, Matt, are you talking about the hollow earth or the flat earth?
I'm talking about the hollow earth. I know nothing about flat earth, but hollow earth.
Listen, buddy, we've had Mark Sargent on here several times, and he won't come back on here because I'll tell you what, Dr. Trey Donaway took him to task. And, the flat earth stuff, it's great. I mean, doesn't Charles Barkley believe in it?
I'm not sure, but
I think he
does. Tell much about Barkley.
It's like, you know, what do you do when you got an NBA superstar that believes in the flat earth? Does no one know the answer to that question? I'm going to get a lot of trouble because we have a lot of listeners. So I'm going to officially ask this question. What do you do when an NBA superstar believes in the flat earth? Jessica, do you know the answer?
I don't care what any NBA players think, so.
You're fishing around kind of near the answer. Matt, do you know the answer to that?
It means absolutely nothing to me.
Kyler, do you know the answer to Dr. John's question of the day? What does it mean when an NBA superstar believes in the flat earth? Kyler, do you know the answer to that question?
They don't get paid to think.
There you go.
Okay. No, the correct answer is, who cares?
Exactly.
Honestly, who cares what Charles Barkley thinks about the flat earth? Now, come on. But anyway, we love the flat earth. It's interesting and fun, and they've got a conference here in South Carolina, which I don't think I'm going to go to, but that's okay. I don't think I could stand it. I think I would go berserk if I did. But anyway, I'm sorry. This is Dr. John Stamian. This is ScaryCast, and we're brought to you by WLSC AM and FM, Loris Conway, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Bananas, the home of Banana Jack in the morning, and the home of Banana Jack and Marshall Biddle in the afternoon, and sometimes with Dr. John, like tomorrow afternoon, I'll be on. So please be sure to set your dials to tigerradio.com, and you can hear the madness and the mania of small town big talk tomorrow afternoon, and I'm going to be talking about my adventures on the Clyde Lewis show last night. It's going to be great. So look, thanks a lot. I'm sorry, folks. We had to get in our station ID plug. So WLSC AM and FM, Lori Conway, Myrtle Beach. Back to you, Jessica.
Well, you know, I was actually thinking when you were bringing up the flat earth theory. Okay, I don't know a whole lot about that. I do know that there's a lot of people that are very passionate with it. We don't have to talk about that right now, but let me tell you. Tomorrow at 12 o'clock noon on the eastern side of the country, I'm doing a show with my friend Jesus Payan. You guys might know him as Gonzo from Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul. He's an actor, but he's also a Bigfoot field researcher. And he's going to be on my show tomorrow at the Cryptid Huntress on YouTube. We're going to be talking about hidden history in the United States. And one of those things that I'm going to be bringing up tomorrow is something that I've never been aware of until this week, actually, where some of the mesas and it looks like mountains and things were actually, there's a theory that those actually were trees. Okay, have you guys heard that? Ancient, gigantic trees.
Yes, there are. And there are many mountains and hills that actually, if you look at them correctly, look like deceased giants.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
No way. That adds another layer. It's crazy. I love it.
Well, get me on the show. Get me on the show. I'll talk about it, okay?
Oh, I'm bringing you on. Absolutely. We'll do it. Yeah.
Please,
I have a lot of other shows, too, so I'll bring you on, Dr. John.
I would love to talk about that. This is truly one of the biggest mysteries, I think, of the entire world is that if you look at some of these gigantic hills and rock structures, they look like people. They look like people that have laid down and died. And it is the weirdest thing. I saw it one time and I got it bookmarked. But it's genius, incredible. You know what, Jessica, and I'm going to say this to you, because you're our guest. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we have in this world, we have the most amazing things, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
And all you have to do, and I'm going to close this little statement here with this. All you have to do is look at something the right way, and you will be amazed. Do you agree with me on that?
I do. You know, you just got to change your perspective sometimes on stuff. And I feel like we've been taught so many things that are not, it's not actually the truth. You know, we're taught to look at things in a certain way. Now, if we just flip it upside down or sideways or just kind of squint your eyes a little bit, you can see it differently. And it opens up a whole new world, a whole new realm of possibilities for what's really out there, you know, and what's been hidden right in front of our eyes this entire time. I love that.
That is true. That is true. All right, I'm going to go back to you and Matt, and y'all can keep talking, but I just had to get that one out because it's very important. People need to realize, like I was talking on Clyde's show last night, and I said, to see these things, you must be an acute listener and watcher. You've really got to watch carefully, and you will see anomalies in this matrix that we live in. You agree with that, Jessica?
Absolutely, yeah. You know, I've also noticed that not everybody can see a lot of these anomalies. Even if what they want to, they can't. It's almost like they're not on the same vibration. You know, we're all on different vibrational frequencies, perhaps. I mean, and I only say that because I've experienced that before, where my son and I were seeing orbs floating around my house. And my son's father could not see them at all unless he looked at them through his phone where he was recording them. You know, so I think there's a lot of stuff out here that is very strange and odd and paranormal, supernatural, that only some of us are able to see and experience, which is it's kind of weird, right? But I've experienced that firsthand.
People with higher consciousness have a better perception of things around them, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It's a matter of being an acute listener and an acute viewer, someone that really watches. And if you look, I'm sorry, I'm going to say this fifth time tonight, and I said it 20 times last night, and it's the truth. Watch very carefully. Listen very carefully. And you will be amazed at what you really see. Please don't just be someone that just doesn't care and lets the world go by, because the world will present you with incredible things. Even on the internet. I mean, just going on the internet, there's amazing things you can find that really are true. Now, Jessica, let me ask you, I'm going to maybe put words in your mouth and maybe not, but don't you agree that there are a lot of wonderful things on the internet? The internet is not always perfect, but there are some really incredible things that you can learn from the internet. Number one, as part one. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. Yes, I agree.
Well, thank you. And number two, I have this theory called triangulation. I wrote about it when I was doing the internet column at the Myrtle Beach Herald a long, long time ago, and some people say, well, what in the world is that? Here's what triangulation is. If you find something that might be a little hard to believe, then what you need to do is you need to look and see if you can't corroborate or dispute that fact. You need to look around. You need to get multiple sources. And that's the whole key to anything that you find on the internet or anything that Jessica remote views down Mel's hole. You've got to find corroboration. Like you got, I mean, that was a very smart thing that you did. You got another remote viewer. I mean, how smart was that? That's the way.
Well, I'm a smart lady.
You do things. Pardon me, please go ahead.
No, I was kidding around. I'm a smart lady. You know, I really enjoy having another remote viewer look into things so that we can corroborate our evidence or our data, not evidence, data, okay? So I think that's very important. It just gives more credibility to all that we're doing and to what we're viewing. So I try to bring her on as often as possible. We are actually going to be remote viewing together on Halloween weekend. She's coming on. We're going to be remote viewing the Salem witch trials. So that's going to be interesting. We're going to each take a case from that, and we're going to remote view the Salem witch trials as a whole. So that's my next case with my friend Tanya.
Well, now, can Dr. John, do you mind if I give you my take on the Salem witch trials?
Absolutely. I don't mind.
lead poisoning and Tourette's syndrome.
Interesting. Very interesting. Could be.
That is what I think.
A lot of people died. So.
Now here's the deal. The Salem witch trials, that was a mean time in America. And a lot of strange things happened. But I believe that if you're careful, you will see that there was a lot of lead poisoning.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing. Lead poisoning will drive you crazy. And mm-hmm. you had a number of intermingled families, and you had Tourette's. Now, just, you know, see what you think. And I would, in fact, when is that show? Is that Halloween night?
It's the Friday before Halloween. So it'll be that night at 9 p.m. Eastern on my YouTube channel, The Cryptid Hunter.
Well, I tell you what, I would love to listen and see and if there was any way that I could contribute to that show, because I have kind of a love for the Salem witch trials. I know that's a terrible and odd thing to say, but I think it's an amazing time in America. And
absolutely.
What I can do, this is an offer. I have a friend who is a sorcerer. And he can communicate with spirits. And I could ask him what he thinks about the Salem witch trials, if you would be interested. We can talk about that offline. How about
that? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm always open to everything. So anything that will get us some answers to some of this stuff, you know, if whatever it takes.
Well, you know, he's one of my very closest friends, and he's very accurate. And that's what's amazing. He is so accurate with his communications with spirits, and just a great guy, just someone that I think the world of. And I would love to share this with you. You know, maybe we can talk or not. We'll just share it with you beforehand.
All right. Yeah. I'm game.
All right. Back to you, Matt and Jessica. On WLSC, AM/FM Lores. We'll give them one more plug.
Well, what else do you want to talk about with Mel's Hole tonight, Matt? Man, I'm gonna hand the microphone over to you, Matthew.
I think it's got a lot to do with that whole thing with that hole or whatever. I believe there are passages of course, you know, through different dimensions, but it's like Stargate, stuff like that. But sounds like it might have something to do also with that Operation High Jump, with the tunnels through the system up there with the Antarctica. Because through Antarctica, there's a polar cusp that opens up at noon every day. The magnetic field opens, and it's like a portal opens at noon every day, supposedly, up there at Antarctica. So is that generating the power for all these wormholes, all these Mel's Hole and any other hole that's out there feeding through Antarctica into these tunnels?
Interesting. Okay, I'm going to bring another element into this. Okay, this is something that's actually in Alaska. Okay, so you guys have probably heard of the Alaska Triangle. It's
the
Bermuda Triangle, but it's in Alaska. Well, they say that all of the wildlife is considerably more violent against humans within this Alaskan triangle. Okay, well, I remote viewed, and Tanya, I had Tanya come on, my remote viewing friend. She came on my show. We both remote viewed the Black Pyramid in Alaska. Now, have y'all heard of that? I have heard of it, but don't know about it.
Can you please explain it?
Yeah, well, the Black Pyramid is said to be larger than the Pyramid of Giza, okay, the Great Pyramid. And I'm going to try to find my folder on this real quick, and I'll tell you guys a little bit about it. But it is, it's ancient, okay, and a lot of, and people deny that it exists, okay, but it's just a huge pyramid. It's very ancient, and when people try to fly over it, it's a no-fly zone. I actually have a personal friend, Fred in Alaska, who has a YouTube channel. He's a Bigfooter. He and his buddy were in a airplane, and they flew close to where this Black Pyramid allegedly is, and they got static on the radio, and a voice turned around immediately or else, okay? So there's 100% credibility of that this is there, okay? But I didn't know that at the time. Tanya and I both remote viewed it. This thing is made of obsidian, and it's gigantic. It's actually a power source. We were picking up that it actually was a pyramid on top of the ground, and it's partially buried, and it's also a pyramid below the ground as well, and it's this huge power generator. It's actually guarded by the military, too, okay? So can't find my folder. It's over there somewhere. But if you ever get a chance, you guys look up the Black Pyramid in Alaska, okay? And I think that it, like what Matthew was saying about the you know, power being generated underneath these tunnels and inner earth and Project High Jump. Is this all this stuff is connected somehow? But yeah, that's an ancient pyramid up there, and it could have something to do with it. It's powering something. It's almost like I want to say like free energy and all that kind of stuff. You know, some kind of natural power generator. That I don't say it's completely natural because this is a man-made pyramid. But like I said, it's very ancient, and I don't believe that it's I'm going to say I believe that what we remote viewed was that it might have been built by people who came here from another planet. Millions of years. We're going to go ahead and go there. Maybe millions of years ago.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Wow.
But yeah, It's all connected in some weird way. And, yeah, I did remote view Organism 46B, which is a sea cryptid. And that had ties. It's in Antarctica. And that has ties to inner Earth. Inner Earth and I don't know. That's another weird one. So I'm not sure if y'all are familiar with that. But very ancient. A lot of ancient things are living on this planet right now.
Yeah, they had mentioned in Operation High Jump, that Admiral Byrd, he had described in his journal that it seemed like a mammoth type creature. It wasn't Antarctica. Was nothing like what he imagined whenever he got up there, and there was like a mammoth type creature walking around up there. And yeah, there's a lot going on. That, you know, there's a reason you can't go to Antarctica. So,
you know, I found it interesting that.
Well, he claims that there was trees, it was green in certain places that he would went, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, and the elites, I guess the people in our government, they go up there and visit Antarctica. So what's going on up there? That's my question.
Well, the Nazis supposedly, didn't they have the deal? They had the in Operation High Jump, they had Germany was talking with the aliens, and they had traded for technology, give them the tunnel system, stuff like that, same way with Eisenhower, to go through and use these national park stuff to abduct people and do whatever they wanted with them. And if you look at the people that have been abducted or just gone missing, these missing 411 cases, most of them are usually really high intelligent people or with a German background or something very similar.
Scientists.
So, yeah, there's a lot going on there. Exactly.
Wow. It's interesting, and the fact that our team encountered a portal, Matthew, you know, out in the field, and we sent a couple people in it. You know, Tim actually was, he's like a scientist. He was, you know, and what if it had targeted him? You know, that was the second portal he had walked into. What if, you know?
And it was a manufactured one, too. It wasn't just a natural, because it was cube-shaped. We've got it on video.
I still feel as though there was something not natural about that. Yeah, like it was human made, perhaps.
Yeah, so. It was. With it being symmetrical, then it definitely was human-made. And if you ever notice all through history of the cube, as we've talked before, that is it's like the movie Hellraiser. In the movie Hellraiser, they got the cube. What does it open? The portal to hell. So you've got it throughout history, the cube, and then, of course, we got it on video, you know.
I mean, we have cultures that worship the cube, the black cube of Saturn, you know. That's a whole other rabbit hole right there we can go down.
So it's a third party that has created this cube in the area that we research, which we also know is the magnetic field is messed up there. So that's another thing, area great for a portal to open. And our energy spikes and radiation readings and stuff always, like you said, they go up because you got to have high energy to create a portal. So when this weird stuff starts happening, we always get the radiation spike. Yeah, it's a third-party entity that's creating the cube for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so too.
Well, I'll tell you what, Matt, that was a great place for us to put a semicolon on tonight's wonderful episode. And Jessica, we would love to have you back here in a couple of weeks or a month. Would you mind coming back and finishing up some of these topics and starting some new ones?
I would love to. I would love to. Anytime.
Well, thank you very much. We appreciate it. Matt, thank you for bringing Jessica on tonight. Thank you for being with us. Your insights are interesting, and you do a lot of exploration, and we're certainly glad to have you as part of ScaryCast on Tuesday nights.
Thank you. I enjoy it. I feel well, Jessica, too.
And Kyler, thank you very much for being here. We appreciate it.
Of course, no problem.
And Jessica, before we go, I would like to give you free rein to plug whatever of your shows you would like to, because you have so many wonderful and interesting shows. Give us a couple that we would want to go listen to, okay?
Oh, man, thank you. You guys are going to want to hear all my shows and watch them. I have tomorrow at 12 o'clock Eastern on my YouTube channel, The Cryptid Huntress, I am going to have Jesus Payan on. We're going to be talking about hidden history. And like I was talking about earlier, we're going to explore everything from – we're going to talk about the mud flood. I'm not even sure about that one, but we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about the giant skeletons found and all the history that's kind of been hidden from us, things that just don't add up. Okay, we're going to talk about that. On Friday nights, I have remote viewing investigations. I do that on my YouTube channel, and I simulcast with Texas Front Porch on YouTube, and I put that on my Facebook page. I'm going to be exploring the Beast of Bray Road, okay? That's a dog man or a werewolf reported up in Wisconsin. So I'm going to be looking into that on that show. So if you guys are interested, join me, 9 o'clock Eastern. And then Saturday and Sunday night, I'm actually the weekend host at Spaced Out Radio. And I have some amazing guests. I'm going to have Craig Woolheater on Saturday night. He is he's actually about to throw a big Bigfoot conference out in Texas. So I got Craig coming on, and then on Sunday night I have the Sasquatch Sisters Northwest out of Idaho and Washington. They're going to be on my show. So they're going to be talking about Dog Man and Bigfoot and all the stuff they encounter up in the mountains at Hoodoo Mountain up in Washington. So, or in I think it was in Idaho actually. I've got a jam-packed weekend coming up. So you guys please join me, and thank you for letting me plug.
Well, thanks. You're welcome. And anytime you can come back. So look, I want to tell everyone thanks a lot for being with us on ScaryCast Tuesday. We'll be back next week with another great guest, another round of good co-hosts, and just a lot of fun. Because you know what, Matt, I'm going to ask you a personal question. Do we love the paranormal?
You know I do.
Kyler, do we love the paranormal?
Absolutely.
Jessica, you are one of the queens of the paranormal, so thank you so much for being with us. We'll see everybody next week, 9 p.m. on Tuesday night, and everybody say goodbye.
Good night.
Bye, guys.
Bye, y'all.